from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Happy Wednesday. Headlines at 4 o'clock are brought to you, of course, by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420, baby, over at Buddy's.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
We got news regarding a son of a KJR staff member. How about this? 11-year-old Dixon Fain has accepted a golf scholarship to Stanford University.
Oh, God.
How much do you hope that's true in about eight years from now, huh?
I need to leave now.
I think I can pretty much tell you how Dick would react to something like that. I know exactly what he would say. You know the drop. I can't find it, but you know the drop.
Absolutely.
Little Meg Ryan there for you. Clay Millen, son of Hugh, the number 13 pro-style quarterback in the country, signing with the University of Nevada. Apparently, he is the highest-rated recruit to ever sign with the Wolfpack. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
And they had a pretty good quarterback not too long ago named Colin Kaepernick, so that's pretty cool. Saints say they're very interested in re-signing quarterback Jameis Winston, and they were not one of the teams to approach the Lions with a trade for Matthew Stafford.
Huskies landing a transfer from Texas Tech, wide receiver Jalen Polk, 6'2", buck 85, from Texas Tech. He went to high school in Lufkin, Texas. Played 1 year at Texas Tech, 28 catches, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. Got 4 years remaining, can play right away in 2021.
Kraken GM Ron Francis will be the assistant GM for Canada's men's hockey team in next year's Olympics.
Oh, and he's going to hire a head coach in 2040.
To suck the Kraken's tentacle.
Is it possible the Kraken will start the year without a head coach? What are the odds? Minus 5,000 on that happening. I mean, here we go. It's like February already, dude. You're playing hockey in 8 months from now.
Maybe Ron's like, I'll do it.
Well, maybe. Yeah, former player. Why not? How about Lywicki coaching the team? What the hell? Just give him the damn job. So we got the game on Sunday, Super Bowl 55, Buccaneers and Chiefs. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner on the call, courtesy of Westwood One. So if you're stuck in the car looking for a place to hear the game, you'll have it right here on the Mighty 950.
You know, I'm looking at a Jackson Feltz tweet here.
Oh, no.
That
this never ends well, by the way.
This is
ever.
A fantastic sports psychology experiment. So
hang on
Jackson.
Hang on. I just got to get myself ready. I got to get situated.
Jackson, a couple of days ago, I don't know if you voted in this poll, but Jackson, a couple of days ago, asked the question, which you would rather have? You can only have one.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite game. You can only have one.
Mm-hmm.
Option A. This is over the last 6 years. Option A is 5 playoff berths and 2 division titles. Option B is 1 playoff berth, 1 division title, but 1 Super Bowl championship.
Mm-hmm.
And the respondents to Jackson's poll went 85-15 in favor of the team that won the 1 Super Bowl championship and had nothing else.
Yeah.
So I decided to do a little experiment, all right? And I tweeted out the exact same poll with one small exception.
Okay.
I added the name Seattle Seahawks and their record over those 5 years, and Denver Broncos and their record, and left everything else exactly the same.
Okay.
And the response was 63-37 Seattle. So can you please explain? I'm gonna get on my couch right now. I'm going to give my Dave Softie Mahler couch.
You're
right
talking
now.
To me?
Yes. And can you explain why 85%, when faced with no team names, voted for one team, and 63%, when faced with team names, voted for the other side?
Okay, first of all, full disclosure here.
Yes.
Do me a favor. Can you repeat the poll? Because I wasn't paying attention. I was I was texting Jadon Mickens about doing the show this week from Tampa. So give me the first question. I get the gist, absolute gist of what you're saying here. Give me the first question, the first tweet that Jackson sent out.
Jackson sent out a tweet that says you can only have one over the last six years.
Yes.
Option A.
Yes.
5 playoffs, 2 division titles.
Mm-hmm.
Option B.
Mm-hmm.
1 playoff, 1 division title, 1 Super Bowl champion.
Okay. And by the way, option A also said 0 conference final appearances.
Yeah, and you're saying once you included the Seahawk name, the results were
completely
switched.
Completely flipped.
You want my take on why this is the way it is? Because I think most people are generally stupid on Twitter and lazy and sloppy and don't pay attention to jack squat. They got no idea what the hell they're doing. Honestly, and they're not even thinking. They're, look at that. And then all of a sudden, it's the Seahawks. Oh, man, look at that. I don't think people pay attention to much when it comes to voting in these polls. I think we send out these polls all the time.
Update on the poll.
We look for updates. We think they're scientific. But really, it's just a bunch of meatheads like us that are voting on these Twitter polls and probably eating some beef jerky. They just had a hot dog. There's ketchup running down their neck. They got mustard on their shirt. They're not even paying attention to what the hell's going on. I don't know. I mean, for me, I think it depends on the team, right? I mean, if it's the Seahawks, you know, I'd probably rather have the more spread out success,
right,
than just take 4 years of hell and then go to a Super Bowl. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a better question for the audience. Why did people vote differently when all of a sudden faced with a team name versus not voting differently or voting a different way when it was more kind of vague?
And my take really quickly, Dick, is the fact that by including the team names piece, people also thought of the current status going forward of the team where you'd much rather have the Seahawks than the mm-hmm. Broncos. I think that played a role.
Yeah. Well, I mean, would you rather be the Seahawks over the last 5 years or would you rather be the Philadelphia Eagles?
Eagles.
They won a championship.
Well, the Eagles, but the Eagles at least have been competitive in other seasons. So there's one where I could be pulled in the side of the Eagles, whereas the Broncos, I mean, basically have done nothing other than that one championship with where Von Miller was the MVP. But I think
they won two titles in the 90s, right?
Yes.
I mean, every decade.
Oh, I'm not talking about what they've done historically. I'm just talking about the last.
But they're typically competitive, right? The Broncos.
Right. I just think part of what makes it fun to be a Seahawk fan is that I know each and every year my team's going to the playoffs, and I know each and every year my team has got a legitimate, whatever you say legitimate is,
sure,
whether it's 6%, 10%, 12%, whatever, it has a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl.
They're
whereas
in the conversation,
if I were a Denver Bronco fan over the last 6 years, I'd have my shiny trophy that I got 6 years ago, but I know every single other year that I have no chance to win a Super Bowl, and I've got very, very little chance even to make the playoffs.
Well, that can change with the right people, right, overnight if they find the right quarterback. I mean, I guess I'm just a little bit confused at kind of what we're getting at here. What are we getting at here? What you just said about the fun part about being a Seahawk fan is that every year they're in the conversation for a championship. They may not be among the elite. They may not be in the second tier, but they're right there. They're in the conversation. When Vegas comes out with their odds every year, you expect to see the Seahawks in the top 10.
Absolutely.
Every single year. Right. But who would disagree with any of that?
No, I'm not saying. I just think a lot of times people think about the results of the season and it affects how they felt about the whole season. Whereas I look at it, I spent 16 regular season weeks and a playoff week enjoying the fact that my team was going 12-4 and that meant something to me.
Right.
And yes, it was a really, really disappointing end of the year, but I'd much rather had what I had leading up to that than year after year after year of 6-10, 5-11, 6-10. But one pop where we go 13-3 and win a Super Bowl.
The better question is then the Broncos in the last 6 years have won a title. And they finished 9-7, 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11.
Right.
Okay, so would you rather have the Hawks the last 6 years or the Broncos the last
six years?
That's
the question.
And you said you'd rather have the Hawks.
I'd rather say I had the Hawks, and a majority of people said the Hawks.
They won a title.
Yes, Denver won a title.
But here's the problem, though, for me, is that we're looking at this in the past tense. As we look back on it, right? You say, well, there's five horrible years and a championship.
Right.
As the years go on, you don't have any idea
how
the years are going to result. You got no clue. I mean, coming out of a Super Bowl championship, heading into 2016, Denver fans probably pretty excited about that year. Then they go 9-7. Maybe they thought heading into 2017, that was a bump on the road. And they're pretty excited about 2017. Right? So who knows?
But they didn't have a quarterback, though.
Okay, but who knows what their take was from year to year? Maybe some fans thought Trevor Siemian was going to be the man. Maybe they thought after they acquired Case Keenum that he was going to be the man. Maybe they thought Joe Flacco was going to... I mean, I think it's very easy to look back on something and say, well, yeah, now I would rather have the Seahawks. But while you're in it, you just said the fun part of being a Seahawks fan is every year you know you're a contender.
Yes.
What was the Bronco mindset each year going into that particular season coming off that Super Bowl championship? How long until the sheen was off the shine and they just said, man, we suck now. I have no idea what their attitudes were.
It was probably, I mean, now you'd have to go back and look at the records, but I think you, in those 5 and 11, 6 and 10 years, you probably knew after the first month of the season that, okay, dude, we're 1-3. There's the Chiefs across over there. We're not A, winning this division, and it's going to be, and we just don't look good.
Part of the fun of being a sports fan is the not knowing, right?
Yeah.
Is the anticipation, the unknown. I have no idea how my team is going to do, and no matter how bad you were the year before, there's always a fan that thinks that maybe this is the year that we turn things around. Maybe it's easier in baseball than it is in any sport out there, like the NBA or like the NFL, but the not knowing is what kind of makes it awesome. That's why people always tell me, would you rather have a Mariner World Series championship this year and then know that you're not getting back to the playoffs for 20 years, or would you rather just roll the dice and see what happens? Well, if you're telling me how the next 20 years are going to go, then there's no unknown.
Right.
There's no mystery. I know my team sucks every year. Now, getting the World Series title would be awesome for sure, but would I rather just take the chance that we may go or we may not go, because at least every single year now I can dream about it and think about it. So I don't know. I mean, I'm with you that obviously the Hawks every year have a shot, but hell, as bad as some of these teams have been, there's probably 25 teams in the NFL that think they have a shot every single year.
At least
year.
Until the end of September.
And at least can have some fun dreaming about being in the mix. 4:13. All right, Petros Papadakis is going to join the radio show. What does he make of the promotion of Bob Gregory over at UW? We'll get his thoughts on that next on Sofia.
WallofCasino.com.
It's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis. Brought to you by Hendrickus Organics. For a 100% organic lawn renovation, go to HendrickusOrganics.com. Now with Petros, here's Dave Softy Muller.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Big thanks to our friends at Hendrickus Organics. Looking for an all-natural fertilizer solution for your lawn. Get it green for the spring and summer, baby. Jump on the web, H-E-N-D-R-I-K-U-S, organics.com. Safe for people, safe for pets, safe for our friend Petros, who's back on the radio show. How are you? It was like Ferris Bueller, man. It was like the game of telephone. People heard that you were sick. You were not doing the radio show a week ago, and it spread like wildfire all across the community. By the end of it, we didn't know if you were even with us anymore. You feeling better?
I'm fine.
Well, glad to hear that.
I hate, you know, come on, Softy. Whenever you do radio, it sucks to not show up for work for a lot of reasons. But one of the number one reasons is that everybody knows something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody you know knows that you're not at work, you know, including your family and all of that. Now, I just remember my wife being really, really intimidated about going into labor with our first and didn't want, you know, a big to-do and everybody knowing.
Yeah.
But what happens? You know, the second my wife's 9 months pregnant, the second I don't show up on radio that day, you know, I saw my dad in the hospital like an hour after we checked in, and his head's like sticking over the curtain like, "Are you in there?" You know, my wife was mortified. Like, so there's not a lot of privacy involved when it comes to what we do. And then you add a pandemic into it, and then everybody says that you're dead. I got sick, and then I tested out. I didn't test for COVID. I didn't test positive for COVID, so I went back to work in, I don't know, like 24 hours. But there you go. Is that the answer that you wanted? Is that what you're trying to piss me off to get me fired up? I know what it was.
I don't know why I would piss you off by asking how you were doing. I mean, it's just, it's a simple...
No, it becomes a whole... Well, now, you know, that's the thing. It's not supposed to be like that. And any other time, it'd be fine. But since there's a pandemic, like, people text me like, "Hey, how you feeling?" I'm like, "Why? Why? Why do you want to know?"
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you become very protective. And
I think they're asking how you're feeling because they're just concerned about you. Because
no, they want to know if I'm sick, so they need to get tested or tell their teacher that they're what. I don't want to hear it.
Stop saying that.
Hey, Petros, how you doing? Jeez, sorry, man. You know what? The hell with you. We won't ask that question again. Well,
you know what? And I don't like that either about you. Every time somebody pushed back on something for you, you damn them to hell. and say to hell with you. You know, I don't like that either.
Fine. You know what? The hell with you.
Stop saying that.
Stop saying that.
Hey, Petros, how are you? What'd you make of the Bob Gregory promotion, a defensive coordinator at Washington?
Bob's good.
Okay, next question. Bob's good. Bob's good. Can you imagine if Jimmy Lake held a press conference and just said, you know what? Bob's good. See ya.
You know, that happened. God, I forget the name. I think the player is Jack something. He's like a quarterback, a backup quarterback at Wisconsin. I think he's transferred somewhere else. And, you know, whenever you're calling a game and you're sitting with the offensive coach, which in Wisconsin's case, in a lot of ways, is the head coach, Paul Chryst, like, you can forget to ask about the backup, you know, because you've gotten into all these different guys and this and that, and you forget to ask about the backup, and the starter gets hurt in, like, the second series, and they trot this guy out, and you're like, damn, we forgot to ask about this guy. So you got three quarters of a guy that, you know, you didn't really talk to the coach about. You just have the research everybody else has. So I remember, like, I had a producer that was like, hey, you got to ask about the backup, you know, because we got caught with our balls in our hands once. Mm-hmm. And I asked Jack Cohn, maybe was, I forget the guy's name. I asked Paul Chryst, I said, so what's up with Jack? Well, what kind of player is he? He goes, Jack's good.
And that's it. That's all. That's the end of the Jack conversation. Well,
That's all I had. Yeah. So, you know, I thought the same thing about Bob Gregory when he was hired. It reminded me of that because, you know, Bob's good. I met Bob Gregory when he was the D coordinator for Tedford in the heyday at Cal. You know, when Cal was the second best, if not, you know, right there with USC for a couple of those years when they had, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Cameron Jordan and people like that. And he was their coordinator for some very good defenses and teams that ran the ball really well, kind of just like Jimmy Lake has. And he was great, you know, loved visiting with him, loved talking to him, loved talking about football with him. And I was always kind of surprised that he didn't become a head coach or at least, you know, maintain a really high level coordinator job.
Yeah.
For a long time. So I was happy. And then I heard the interview. I went and listened to the Jimmy Lake interview on your show and the stuff he said about it and kind of how he, and I don't mean this at all in a derogatory way, the way he kind of sold it to the fan base, because I know people were hoping for a guy with NFL experience for whatever reason. But I thought it was a really good hire. I think it keeps their defensive language and their defensive identity rolling in the direction that the head coach wants it to.
Yep.
And I think offense is what you need to worry about.
Totally. Well, I want to play this clip from the Jimmy Lake interview that you apparently listened to on the iHeartRadio.
I have the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. Wow. You know, you can listen to Softy anytime, Softy and Dick, anytime you want.
He says we should trust him, that he knows what he's doing on defense. Here's the clip.
So the fans out there, if you guys trust me, knowing that I know defense, you trust that we just made the best hire possible to keep this Washington death row defense rolling.
Do you trust Jimmy Lake that he knows defense and knows what the hell he's doing on that side of the ball?
Well, I mean, you don't want to be Matt Patricia, right? They hire a defensive coach in Detroit, and he's got the worst defense every year. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not what Jimmy Lake wants. Look, I know how long Bob Gregory's been there. I know Bob Gregory. When I saw that they hired Bob Gregory, I was happy for Washington and for Bob Gregory. So, like I said, Bob's good.
Bob's good. Bob's good. Petros Papadakis, who's also good, courtesy of Hendrikas Organics
Jack
with us.
Jack is good.
Jack's good. Bob's good. Petros is good. We're all good. Did you hear that?
You know, Paul Chryst has like this weird kind of like, it's not a Wisconsin accent. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's like, I don't ever understand what he's saying, and he's just like, that's how he sounded.
What was that again? How does he sound?
Jack, C-O-A-N. Well, no, that's an old article. Let me see what Jack.
Okay.
Jack's
right.
good, though.
Well, let's move on from that. Petros Papadakis with us. Did you hear that the Seahawks, your old pal, your buddy, Pete Carroll, hired a 41-year-old offensive coordinator?
41 years! For the Notre Dame.
Okay, you're back on that now?
Well, I'm just telling you, he's going to be the Notre Dame quarterback. That's how good Jack is.
Yeah, Jack's good. Jack's good. Are we done with Jack? You want to go? You got more thoughts?
Well, I just found out that he transferred to Notre Dame, and his Wisconsin teammates helped him move out of Madison. That's nice.
Wow. Okay. What do you know the name Shane Waldron at all?
No. Who is it?
He's the new offensive coordinator for Pete Carroll. He was the passing game coordinator for the Rams in your backyard, and now he's now he's the OC for the Hawks.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Did you get like some Ram weirdo on to ask him about it?
We had Lindsay Theory on. Is that qualified? Does that qualify as a Ram weirdo?
Kinda, even though she's UW royalty.
God. Well,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, sure, whatever. I mean, Sean McVay's a great play caller. Like, I know he's goofy with his rosé wine and his shirt off and the Hard Knock show. I know that he sounds kind of like a motivational, like he's Zig Ziglar reading out of a book when he speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really, I don't know, inspire much confidence for me when I hear him talk. But watching over the last few years, the guy's a really, really, really good play caller. Like, the guy can really coach an offense as a whole. They really marry, I think. And look, you saw the Rams just beat Seattle with a 9-fingered quarterback and a dude from the AFL. So Seattle's in trouble, you know, because they've obviously upgraded that situation. And McVay he's talented, you know. Yeah, I mean, he really is. So if this guy kind of had some of that rub off on him, or he comes from that coaching tree, and
okay,
you know, I mean, look, everybody in the NFL knows when you run play action, you know, you want the run to look like the pass. You want to marry those things together, but something about the way the Rams have done it over the years, even without a dominant back like Todd Gurley, they're just really good at it. Like, he really masked Jared Goff's problems for like 18 months. You know, it was pretty impressive. He's a great play caller. So maybe this guy has a little bit of that in him. I don't know. Lindsay Theory must have told you it was great, I'm sure.
Not really. No, she was kind of blech on the hire for the Hawks. And, you know, my question regarding Pete, you know, he'll be 70, I believe, in September. Does a guy that has been around the game that long, who's given the reins of the offense, including Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and others, does he let the 41-year-old kid just have at it? Does he stick his nose where it doesn't belong? Does he get involved in the offense and tell the kid what to do? How much authority do you think old Petey's going to give young Shane?
Well, whenever Pete sticks something in, it's usually his chin. But I don't think Pete will let anybody do anything with anything without being involved. Pete is a complete and total control freak. Whenever he has really good coaches, they don't last long, even if they do want to be there longer, because Pete does really want to be the only adult voice, and he really wants to be the guy that everybody is pointing to and saying, this is the genius. I remember when Pete pushed Norm Chow out, mm-hmm. which was inconceivable because Norm Chow was getting so much credit for what USC had created and what was being created at USC, and Pete did not like it. Like, he hated that. Like, he did not like it at all, and that is kind of...
He didn't like what? The attention or credit that Chow was getting?
Right. Oh. That's how you ended up with Sark and Kiffin before they were ready to be head coaches, and both their personal lives exploded because he could not stand people asking him questions like, how about this Norm Chow offense? How about the job Norm Chow's done with Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lindale White, Dwayne Jarrett, Steve Smith? He did not like that. he really kind of bristled at that. And then he started to call media and tell everybody, and tell me if this sounds familiar. It wasn't Norm. It's me. I changed the offense. I made So then you started seeing these articles like, you know, Pete Carroll more involved in offense. And it's like, well, if you're the head coach, what, you know, what are you doing back-channeling information like that? I mean, the reason I know he back-channeled it is because he tried to do it through me. And even if it was true, I thought it was weird and petty. Mm. So,
what do you mean, timeout? What do you mean through you? Discuss that more.
The coach calls you and tells you that Norm Chow's not really doing all this good stuff. The offense was effed up until I changed it.
Wait, Pete called you directly and said he's getting too much credit.
Do you think I lied?
No, I don't think I just.
Good coaches know how to massage powerful media people or people that have influence. Yeah.
Powerful media. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not saying it's not me, but you know, like powerful. Powerful when it comes to USC in those times. Yeah, Cole.
You little jerk.
but that's what a smart coach does at the same time. I mean, a smart coach builds alliances with people that a lot of people don't, you know, people think, well, maybe Petros doesn't really like Pete Carroll. So if he says it must be true, you know, that kind of stuff. He's not dumb. I'm just saying this is how it operated back in the day with Pete Carroll and the offense. I'm giving you gold and you're being an ass.
I am not. I think it's great.
You are. Look in the mirror. You'll see a big butt crack.
I think it's great. Petros Papadakis with us. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what.
Did he do that with Schottenheimer? Didn't he tell the media that now he's involved in the offense and he's going to fix everything? Didn't he tell the media that Schottenheimer, he expects to be there next year and then turned around and fired the guy? I mean, you're starting to see the cutthroat nature of who Pete Carroll really is. And it's about freaking time.
Well, why are you throwing him under the bus, though? What did he do to you?
About what?
About everything.
This isn't new information.
No, it's not. But you just have had a burr up your butt for Pete Carroll ever since he left USC. And I'm trying to figure out the genesis of that. Did he burn you at some point in time?
Certainly not. He helped me.
Then what's your problem?
Well, I told the truth about things as I saw him, and he didn't like it. So he tried to manipulate that, and I don't take kindly to that.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't like to be manipulated, David.
No manipulation here. Did you watch the Tiger Woods HBO documentary, by the way?
No, we saved his career, too, so I don't.
Oh, please tell how you did that. Go ahead.
He came to Jesus. He did an interview with us. Late after, before he won the Masters, but after his comeback.
At the the Genesis, I thought he was with you guys, right? Down there.
Yeah, at the Riviera.
Right.
Yeah. And we went in, it was a very surreal experience. We went into, now I knew Tiger Woods in college. Does that help? No, because our kicker, who was named David Bell, L kicker, he was Mexican, so it said L kicker on his license plate. And
did it really?
Uh-huh. His cousin.
That's great.
His cousin, Byron Bell, was the guy, the bag man, that was Tiger's hookup for all the hookers. Forever. He was even his caddy for a couple of events, you know, when Fluff got fired or whatever. So that was like a whole thing. So we knew Tiger Woods, and he was around, and he was such a freaking nerd. I mean, it was like painful what a nerd he was. So I knew him a little bit. So he sat down for like 40 minutes with us and like poured his heart out and talked about drugs and having to use a bucket to go to the bathroom in bed and the humiliation of how far he fell. Like, wow. It was powerful. Like, it was like, I was like, oh my God, you know? And then when it was over, he didn't leave. He wanted to sit and talk about USC and some of the tendencies there, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. Wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be a fly on the wall at the Riv that day, brother. But no, it was, you know, so after that, when he won the Masters, you know, we kind of had a lot of fun saying, like, hey, we turned his career around, you know, he had to pour out his heart to us, and then it all turned around. But no, I didn't watch the doc. I heard it was, look, when your dad killed like 5 million Viet Cong, you know, that's got to be tough on you. And there was a way for him to release it. It was with hookers. It's unfortunate.
Hey, you know what? Everybody has their way, no doubt. And who am I to judge? Listen, he's carrying.
I don't know, a guy that judges people all day on the radio?
Me? No, I would never do that.
We all do. That's like whenever you say, who am I to judge? It's like, well, you're the guy that's paid to do it. So.
By the way, how are you feeling? We love you. We got to run. Great stuff, man. Always fun to visit.
You know, don't be jealous because Pete never calls you and tries to manipulate your thought process.
He never does. But you know what? Next time I see Pete, I'm going to tell him, hey, remember that one time when you called Petros and sold out Norm Chow?
It wasn't one time, brother.
All right.
You know, oftentimes, let me just say this last time, just so you know, oftentimes I used to look up and wonder, you know, why this guy was calling me, and there's a bong spilt on the floor, and Scooby-Doo's on mute, and I lived in a studio apartment in Koreatown, but, you know, it's not my fault.
I love it. Well, you're a powerful member of the media in L.A. At least back then you were. All right, dude, awesome stuff. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy
Softy.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Hey, Softy.
Yes, sir.
Let your off.
All right, we'll see you next week. Bye. Petros Papadakis with us. 49451. Text of audio's coming up
now.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler.
All right.
Dick Fane.
Kevin Harlan, 520. Big thanks to our friends at Hammer and Nail for sponsoring Textimonials on the Coors Light text line, 49451. Lots of stuff to go over. Jackson, what do you got?
Petros is the best 20 minutes of the week. Thank you.
Well, the bar is not very high. I think both of us agree on that, number one. And then number two, where else could you go, Dick, to find out about Tiger Woods' hookers, a take on Bob Gregory, and how much Pete Carroll hates Norm Chow? All in one segment.
And how much he hates Pete Carroll.
Clearly, if you can't get that by now after 11 years, after hearing that segment, he thinks Pete Carroll is a complete D-bag, and there is no
yes, he does.
Secret about it at all. All right, what's next?
If you could promise me a Super Bowl win, I would gladly take 5 losing seasons after that.
Okay.
Going 12-4, then getting bounced out of the playoffs every year hurts worse than 6-10 with a Super Bowl win.
Ooh.
Okay.
I don't agree with that.
I would love to sit down with that guy. Let's say in about year 4, week 13.
Yeah, well.
When his team just went to 4-9 for the third straight season. I'm wondering if he still feels
that way. Maybe. Well, let's let's see it happen. Let's have the Seahawks go 4-9.
No, thank you.
In 2021.
No,
thank you. We'll check in with that dude. What's next?
My wife is a Broncos fan. I'm obviously a Seahawks fan. She has come to terms with the Broncos being a dumpster fire as long as Elway is involved.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Buddy of mine, golfing buddy of mine, is a big Bronco fan. We're talking about this. If John Elway never gets Peyton Manning to get off that plane and come to Denver, are they where they're at? Now, they won that Super Bowl. You could say they got there against us because of Peyton Manning, but they won it a couple years later more because of the defense than
Absolutely.
The offense, because the quarterbacks on that team were actually horrible. And if you go back and watch the game against Carolina, Peyton didn't play really well at all in that game against Cam Newton.
Peyton couldn't throw a pass over 25 yards at that point in his career.
But, you know, you never know. Did that getting there the first time, did that kind of maybe fuel the fire for the second one? So, you know, what if Peyton Manning never breaks his neck and never leaves Indianapolis? Who knows where John Elway is right now, man? Holy cow, what's next?
Why do you assume it's the same people voting?
He's talking about the two Twitter polls, the dueling Twitter polls, the Dick Fane Twitter poll, the Jackson Felt Twitter poll. Why is one poll going one way? Why is one poll going the other? I think that's exactly right. I think the texter is exactly right, because you've got Seahawks fans and Storm fans on your Twitter account, dog fans, and Jackson has weird soccer fans voting in his poll.
Well, I didn't assume that they were the same fans voting. I don't know where he got that. I just think I find it fascinating that a group of Seattle sports fans, I think we can all agree that the people that follow me and the people follow Jackson largely are Seattle sports fans, are probably largely are Seahawks fans. Why a group of Seattle sports fans would vote so differently when you just added Seahawks and Broncos to the poll versus eliminated those names and just put the resumes on.
I think Jackson does have a much different flavor of followers than you do, though. Absolutely. I mean, for example, his fans are the ones that like to go out to clubs at night and go boom, 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 boom all night long. That's and you're the ones that are in bed by 8:30, right? So, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the case, just a different cut of meat.
I mean, really quickly, my poll establishes one thing, and it, by the way, had double the size of Dick's poll. And that is, by the way, that what matters more is one Super Bowl over constant playoffs, but no playoff success. That's what matters more in my poll. 85% of people say one Super Bowl over all the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
What did you hear what he just said?
Yes, I did. Intentional wording, folks. Intentional wording.
Congratulations, Jackson. I hope you feel
it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting.
We got time for one more. Yeah. One more. Go ahead.
It does not mean anything to me that the Seahawks had no COVID cases. Losing in the first round is all that matters.
There you go. That guy could not care less if the Hawks did not have a positive COVID case. Win games. So what? Who cares? And you know what? I don't know if I'd go that far. I think it's an accomplishment. You know, I mean, great that Pete Carroll, great that the players did everything that they had to do. You and I talked about this in the first segment. I still think some of it is kind of a little bit of luck, and some of this is out of your control. But good for them that they went the entire year. I get the sense, and maybe I'm wrong on this, that the majority of Seahawks fans, it doesn't mean much to them that they went the entire year without a COVID case. Maybe they'd feel differently if they were in the Super Bowl right now, right? If we could say, hey, you made the NFC Championship, or you made the Super Bowl, and you went the entire year without a COVID case, great. But the prevailing, I think, emotion that Seahawks fans have right now is still the loss to the Rams. It's not even close.
Oh, yeah, but that'll die off. That'll die off quickly, and I think we'll have a different opinion on that. Maybe we look back on this year 5-10 years down the road as far as how it was handled. But I think I'm with Florio. I think the NFL just did a fabulous job overall.
Absolutely.
Handling this, and it just shows it can be done when you threaten the, you know, the when you basically threaten your players like I'm sure most coaches did.
Yeah, no, that part I agree with you, that the NFL, give them credit, because I remember hearing people and seeing articles written, this is a mistake.
Never get through September.
It's never going to happen. It's going to be a mess. Players are going to die. Honestly, we read that.
Oh, absolutely.
We read that about college football. Multiple players will die. Dennis Dodd talked to a doctor, said multiple college football players are going to die because of the pandemic. Like, what are you talking about? These people are not like you and me. They're better off. They have access to things that the average schmuck doesn't have access to. They're not going to die. What the hell's wrong with you? So, yes, give the NFL a ton of credit. Absolutely a ton of credit for the league to pull this off. They basically spit in the face of the pandemic.
Yes, they did.
Is what they did. Because this actually probably shouldn't have happened. They should have had games canceled. They got more guys on rosters than any league on the planet, for crying out loud. And they pulled it off. 4:56, Kevin Harlan, that guy, baby, going to join us coming up at 5:20 right here on 950 KJR.
He's a bulldozer. He's a